Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast with opinions, news, and views. On this podcast, we talk about technology topics and how they affect you. I'm your host, Roy Richardson, and each week we will feature an entertaining guest to talk about different topics. Now let's begin the show.
Okay.
All right, and we're recording. We're not live, but we're recording. Hey, this is Roy Richardson of the One-Off Technology Podcast, and my friend Chuck's not going to be in this podcast with us. I'm very sad about that, but he was booked, but I had this opportunity to get this fantastic guest on. She is a blogger and a writer and a reviewer, and she has been doing this for a while, and I'm just amazed at how prolific she is at keeping her blog, like, every day, almost posting content and also doing different themes to try to promote the blog. And just so I've really got to get her on my show so we can talk about blogging, and so that everybody can kind of understand why blogging might be something that you're interested in, how to kind of get started, what are some of the things out there, and then once you get started, kind of the path you might want to follow that works for you. And you're the subject matter expert about the things that you know about, and so that's where we are. I'm Merlis. Would you please introduce yourself, and then please tell us about your great blog, the Opinionated Woman's Musings.
Okay, thanks, Roy. My name, like you said, my name is Amaryllis Terman, and I write for the Opinionated Women's Musings. This is a reviews blog, and I started writing this blog in 2012. I think it is 2012, 2013 is when I really got serious about it. I focus a lot on book reviews, but anything that I experience, anything that I try, is subject to be a post on my blog. So I just use this as a way to share anything and everything about what I do and how I feel about it. And, you know, if I think it's pretty cool, I'm sharing it because somebody else might think it's cool too.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Now, so how important do you feel blogging is today? Or it maybe a different way of saying it is, how important is blogging to you?
Well, for me, blogging has been a very good way to centralize all of my reviews and opinions and have a place to direct people. So when they're asking me questions, for example, a lot of times people will ask me for suggestions about, you know, what book do I think they should read? Well, that question to me, I have so many follow-up questions because I read from so many different genres. So I direct them to my blog to say, you know, search on my blog and you can look at all the different types of books that I've read and see if anything appeals to you. Before I had the blog, it was a long, tedious process. I found myself repeating over and over again the books that I had read, the plot, you know, or if there was a book that I really liked and I'm telling one person the plot and then the next day I'm telling another person, I found myself repeating it a lot. I thought, why don't I have all of this in one place? And so I feel that's why blogging has always been important to me, because now I can just ask people or direct people to the blog, and then once they see the information that I'm sharing, then and they find value, then they can say, okay, well, you know, I wanted to see what news she's going to have next week. And then this is just a way to keep a relationship with my growing fan base. And also having fresh online content is that fosters engagement.
Yeah, and so how did you mentioned that 2012 is when you kind of started taking it serious. How did you get started blogging?
Well, let's see. Early, I don't know, I guess maybe it might have been 2010, or might have even been 2009, when I was looking to save my poems that I was writing, and I thought a good way to save these would be to save them digitally. And then I thought maybe I'll save them, you know, use a blog to save them that way. So I was saving them on a blog. And then in that blog, I had peppered reviews every now and then. I had a review on the blog. Well, over time, I was thinking I wanted to focus in on the reviews and take my blogging as a hobby and convert it more into, I say, like, more of a business venture. And I knew that if I was going to do that, my blog had to have a purpose, and it had to be clear to the reader what the blog was about. So I couldn't just have random, you know, review this day and then a random poem this day all on the same blog. I mean, that might work for some people, but if my blog was going to be a reviews blog, then I needed to stick with that, and everything, all my posts needed to be within that theme. So then I decided I still have that creative write, what I call my creative writing blog. I don't really post to it as much anymore, just every now and then, but I still have that. So then I created a new blog, which is the Opinionated Women's Musings. And what I did was I intentionally branded myself as, one, the Opinionated Woman. And then at that, with the inception of this blog, then I made sure that all my blog posts are in line with my original theme, and that any post that I make on this blog somehow relates to the theme, or kind of like the mission of the blog.
Okay. And, you know, that's good. Yeah, it's a finding a theme and sticking with it. I'm actually jealous because I've been unable to do that myself. I'm interested in so many things. It's hard to focus it on just one thing.
Right. Oh, sorry.
No, please.
And see, I'm interested in a lot of things too, but I realize that the overreaching theme was reviews. It was all about my opinion on whatever I'm doing. So then, since that's the main thing that I wanted to talk about, then I could talk about books. I could talk about traveling to different locations. I could talk about food. But as long as I was coming at the topic from the aspect of, you know, this is the book, or this is the food, this is the restaurant, and this is my experience, so then it still fits in with the theme of my blog. And so then my readers still understand that, okay, this is a review, but, you know, it's not just a book reviews blog, or not just a food reviews blog. It's just reviews in general.
Right. So what platform did you originally get started with when you started blogging?
So my creative writing blog, I started using Blogger.
Okay.
And, you know, like I was saying, it was just a space on the internet for me to post my ideas and, you know, just let them loose into the world on, you know, the World Wide Web. And I can be a technical person, but if there's an easy way to do something, then that's what I'm going to choose, the easy way. So, and that's kind of what happened when I was blogging. So when I decided that I was going to blog with more of a purpose, I felt like I had a choice to make. Did I want to stay with Blogger, or did I want to use a different platform? And Blogger was I mean, it's kind of easy to use, but there were some things that I felt like were a little bit cumbersome to navigate.
Right.
So after doing some research, I decided that my new blog would be on WordPress. And I like WordPress because, for the most part, you know, if you know HTML code, you can write the code and you know, do it that way. But then you can also do the, you know, what you see is what you get, you know, template. So, you know, it looks just like a Word document, and then you have your different options where you can kind of copy and paste and bold, you know, there's a button for bold, a button to format your text. And so it's pretty simple, you know. So, and I don't do a lot of fancy formatting, you know. If I want to do fancier formatting, I know I have to just go ahead and write the code for it. And so sometimes I decide to do that, and then other times I just go with what they have. Just right. Do it.
No, I agree with you. Blogger is easy to get into, but it's cumbersome to do a lot of things, and it feels very restrictive in some ways. You can do a lot more with WordPress.com. And then you're using WordPress.com, and I guess you're paying a fee, and you have a domain name registered. And
right.
So when people go to your site, which, by the way, we didn't tell them that, but AmerilisTurman.com is your site. And so when you go there, it's a WordPress site. Now, if you have a WordPress.com account, the easy thing about it is that you can go and add it to your reader list and follow her. I have one out there. Don't follow it, though. there's nothing there. So, but follow her.
And you know what? Adding on to that, when I first started my WordPress blog, I wasn't sure if I was going to continue using it or how it was going to work. Because, you know, in the beginning I had maybe 2 followers. And so, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to put, you know, to invest any money in it. And in the beginning. So the good thing about the WordPress is that you can have a free site in the beginning. So I started off with the free site, and just used all of the free options. I used a free template, which I'm still using the free template just because I've had it for so long, and you know, that's what people know, and it works, and you know, why change it? You don't want to radically change your whole website if, you know, and people go to it and say, they're like, I don't know where anything is anymore. So, it works. I got the color scheme I wanted, and I like the setup. So, I knew that when I designed it, you know, using their limited custom option, you know, because they have some custom options, you know, the free choices that they had available, that I could expand if I needed to. So the capability was there. And that's the thing that I didn't really see with Blogger. And maybe Blogger has that. I just couldn't find it. I needed to be a more technical person, or I needed to read more of their FAQs. Who knows? But I couldn't find it. So, and I mean, this is a hobby. So I didn't have a lot of time to, you know, sit down and read pages and pages of research materials to try to figure it out.
Now I can understand that life is short.
Yeah,
I got stuff to do and this day job, and I want to blog, and you know, all this other stuff.
Yeah, if this is going to be much more of a headache, I mean. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, you are a very prolific blogger, and your site seems to be gaining quite a following. And so I guess I'm wondering, what strategies have you used to cultivate a following on your blog?
Well, the number one thing that I tried to do is to have a regular schedule with blog posting. And the way to do that is planning. It does take a lot of planning. So I have a calendar and I actually so I plan I actually plan 3 to 4 months in advance what my posts are going to be.
Wow.
Well, and I have on my about page, I tell my readers what my schedule is. So I tell them that I am definitely going to have a post every 5th day. And then, so they know there's definitely going to be new content every 5 days. And, then there's also, then I have I have some monthly memes that I'm working on, but that can be random. Like I have a Thursday thoughts that I do. I try to do that like twice a month. A Foodie Friday, which is supposed to be once a month. And a Try It Tuesday, which is supposed to be once a month. So those are scattered within the month. But what I try to do is plan everything out. And when I look at my calendar and I say, okay, these are the dates when I need to have blog posts. Then I look at I have a document. Right now, that document is 90 pages, and it's all works in progress or works that have been completed. So they're posts that are in various stages of works in progress.
Oh, wow. And
Oh. Yeah, so I've got a lot of posts that are in the pipeline right now, and the way that I'm able to write those, I dictate a lot of my posts because after I read a book, I have a lot of thoughts in my head, and sometimes it can be difficult for me to sit down and put pen to paper or sit down to a computer and type it out. But if I can just, on my phone and I just dictate my raw thoughts, and then I put that into my document, and then when I get time, then I kind of clean that up, take those short sentences or those run-on sentences and form that into a post worthy of publishing to the world. And there you go.
And
So,
so you said dictate. Do you like speech
yeah.
to text software, or you just mean you record your voice onto your phone and
I
then?
do. I use Dragon Dictation, that
Okay.
app.
Yeah.
And then sometimes just in notes, and then like on, because I have an iPhone, I go in notes and then just use the microphone.
Okay.
It just all depends on, like if I'm at my computer, I'll use the Dragon Dictation, and then. But if I'm, I mean, I could be driving, and a thought will come into my head, and if I don't dictate it right then, I'll lose it. So I just have to just dictate, just voice activated,
Oh, wow.
get it,
That's
save
great.
somewhere.
That's great. I like that. I need to be more diligent and that sort of thing. I just try to remember it later when I have time to write it down, and so.
Yeah, see, I used to do that, and later I would say, I had a thought. It was so profound. It was so profound. I thought I would never forget.
I know. I can totally relate to that. Like, it was such a great thought. Where did it go? So.
So many poems have been lost that way.
Oh, wow. Now, so you mentioned about, so you have a document or a calendar. You use like a Google calendar or Outlook calendar or something, and you plan it that way, or you have like an Excel spreadsheet and you put all your dates there, or what are you
Well,
using?
I just printed out. Yeah, the I okay. So when it comes to my planning, I'm very analog, but I mean, I do use a lot of digital software, but I find that I have to write it out. So I just printed out a calendar, like it's
Template,
a
yeah.
yeah, just like a month per page.
Okay.
And then I just use that. And so then I go ahead and plug in. So a review is every 5 days. So, 5, 10, 15, 20. And I'll tell you, the reason why I started doing it every 5 days was so that when I am at my computer and I'm scheduling my blog posts, I don't have to look at a calendar to schedule. I can just, because if you say my blog will post Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
Right.
now you have to look at a calendar. Especially if you're going, like if you're trying to plan for April, you're
Right.
like, okay, what's Monday's date for April? So this way you say, the 5th, the 10th, the 20th, the 15th,
Okay.
and you can, and so I don't have to look at a calendar, even though I have calendars everywhere, but still it's like it just made it, that was just like something that made it easy for me. So then when I go in and I schedule my posts, I can go in WordPress and I look at my scheduled posts and I can easily see, okay, do I have all my posts for March scheduled? And if, let's say I have every day but the 20th scheduled. So I'm like, okay, I need to go back and I need to create a post for the 20th or something like that. So
Yeah.
then that th those are my so those the posts on the 5th, or the multiples of 5, those are my review posts. Now, when I have my Try It Tuesday, I do need to look at a calendar for that because that's a specific one. And the ones that it's, Foodie Friday, those are specific ones that I have to look at the calendar for.
Now,
So,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, I was going to
no, I
ask
was.
you, so in WordPress, I'm very familiar with WordPress, but so do you take your entries and write them as drafts and like stage them out, and then you go back later and say, okay, I'm ready to publish this, and then you schedule the date inside WordPress that's going to go out, or is it a matter of sit down, paste in your content from Drag and Dictate or however you went about putting it together in there and then going in and scheduling? So what basically I'm wondering is, do you like go ahead and post all these drafts inside of WordPress and then you schedule those when you're ready to publish them? Or is your process more sit down, do a post in completion and then schedule it? Which method do you use?
So in my Word document, they're in the various stages of completion. And then once I've finished it, then I will copy and paste to WordPress and schedule the date in WordPress.
Okay.
And the reason I do that is to prevent me from accidentally posting a work in progress.
Okay. All
So
right.
if I, yeah, because I mean, there have been times where I meant to schedule something, but I accidentally published it. And so, the worst that can happen now is, everybody just gets a review a day early. But if it was work in progress, then it would say, what is this?
This is
What
not a
is she
complete
doing
thought,
over
yeah. So, no, as I've done some postings, I'll write an article, and but it's date specific, but I won't have time to finish it, and so I'll save it in draft, and then time will pass, and then
Yeah.
suddenly, you know what? That was really great. However, it's no longer winter. Posting about
Yeah.
that's not going to work anymore. So, or that article about, when I only need to lose 5 pounds, or need to lose 100 pounds, whatever. But now doesn't make sense because I've lost all that weight and it doesn't matter anymore. So yeah, it's all craziness. So let me ask you, you probably tried a lot of different approaches. What strategies have you tried that just didn't seem to get any traction at all? And why do you think they failed?
I have tried hosting giveaways, and I still do. But, and I you would think that people want to enter giveaways because you have the chance to win stuff. But it seems like people don't want to go through the trouble to enter their names and addresses, or, well, no, they don't even put their address. I mean, I guess they have to sign up for, you know, like, give their email address or something. But it just, some of these giveaways, it just doesn't seem like people aren't responding to them like I would think they should. And then I've also tried asking questions at the end of the blog post to try to stimulate more comment interaction, because I see that the blog posts are getting a lot of hits where, you know, people are obviously visiting and reading, but they're not necessarily liking or commenting. So I was trying to figure out, you know, how can I get people more engaged where they will comment? And, you know, I thought maybe if I'd ask them a question and, you know, try to draw them out, but it doesn't seem to be working because people don't always comment, but I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what else I can do to see what helps.
Right.
And maybe I'm just not, I just don't have the right topics, you know, maybe my topics are too tame. I need to get some more controversial topics.
Yeah, but then it turns into clickbait, and, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's my title, Train Wreck, and then the article's about growing flowers. You know, so they fell for that, ha ha ha, and then they never visit again because it was clickbait. I didn't actually give them anything worth reading. So,
yeah.
So you're a writer, and that's kind of what started this whole process. And you talked about your blog and posting poetry and other stuff. And so, do you worry that your blog kind of eats away at your creative juices that you might have used for writing articles or poems or books? And if so, what strategies do you use to kind of combat that? Or do you often take what you've blogged and say, you know what, I'm going to turn that into my writing endeavor? You know, what kind of where you are there?
Yeah, well, blogging does sap all my creative energies, I'll just say it. And I mean, part of it, well, I say it saps my creative energy, but that's not the only thing I do, because I like to read as also. So between reading and blogging, I feel like I don't have time for anything else, you know, any other kind of creative outlet so much. I do try to, read poetry, and I listen to some spoken word artists, you know, like I'll go, you know, to try to stay inspired, and then that kind of helps me to get those creative juices. I guess that flame of creativity to flicker and flow. Not well, I guess I'm mixing metaphors there. But yeah, to get the creative juices flowing. And then, so, I mean, I write some poetry. I think my passion is writing the opinions. And so, and that's probably why I lean towards writing that more than the poetry. I have an idea for a book that's in my, I should say, it's in the back of my mind, filed away. And I just, it's not time yet for that, I guess. So,
dictate it in the Dragon Dictate so you have references, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, but you know what? Every now and then, Because I do, like, I for that book, I probably have, I have parts of a couple of chapters done. Because it's almost like it comes to me in visions. You know, like, the scene will come to me. And when it does, I'm on it. I dictate the vision. I say, okay, you know, I've got it. But it doesn't, when it, you know, I can't force it. So with me, that's how writing is. I feel like I can't force it. I just have to write what flows out.
Right.
And so if nothing's flowing, then I go to different methods to either spur that creativity or to spur that energy. You know, so it might be, I might turn to reading or music, something, maybe I'm not relaxed enough, or, you know, or maybe I just need, I'm trying to think too hard, and that's why it's not coming to me. The words are not coming. So, but once I do that, and then it's like, okay, I know exactly what I want to say, and this is what it is.
I guess I've often thought everybody obviously has like a finite amount of creative juices on a daily basis. And if I sit down and write a blog post as opposed to working on a writing endeavor, then all my creative energy went into that, and now I don't have any left for the other one. Is that, that pretty much?
Well, see, and I look at it as you just have a finite amount of time. So, well,
that may be true too, but.
So, I mean, it's not that the creativity isn't there. It's just, you know, the time is spent, you know, with this endeavor. So there's not really any time to think about. For me, writing on the blog is a lot easier than writing a poem. Just, I don't know. It is for me. So, and maybe that's why. I kind of venture or lean towards that than the other. And I can crank out some blog posts when I'm in a good mood, and, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. Yeah, if I'm in a good mood and I pen to paper and got the music going on in the background, and then I can sit there that same amount of time with a piece of paper, and I'm struggling to do a haiku. I'm like counting the syllables on my fingers. I'm like, oh no, that's 8 syllables. Okay, wait a minute.
So let me now, so with the blog, have you had a post that had more traction than anything you expected, and you were very surprised by that, and when you may have had something you worked a lot harder at or you were more proud of, but yet just did not have any traction at all?
Yes, I actually did. There was a time, there's a local hotel in Greenwood called Inn on the Square, and when they reopened under new ownership, I was part of a group that got to try out their menu before they officially opened. And I wrote about it on my blog, and I shared some of the pictures from the dinner that we went to. And it was my feature for the Foodie Friday. That, to date, that is still the most viewed blog post for one day. And, I mean, it just surprised me how many hits it received, because A lot of my followers are not from Greenwood. Right. So I was surprised that it received that many hits. But what I didn't realize is that I shared it on Facebook, and then people were resharing it. And so it was getting a lot of traffic from people who had not heard of me or my blog, but, you know, they had heard it from their friends and their friends' friends. So I thought that was pretty neat. And then I guess years ago I posted a review about a wine that I bought from Trader Joe's. And that wine is one of the most Google searched wines for, well, I should say I've received the most Google search referrals for people looking for that wine. You know, so a lot of the trackbacks have come back from that. Mm-hmm. And I just really put that one on my blog as a whim. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just, and I was mainly talking about the fact that, you know, here was an inexpensive wine that I thought was really good and, you know, explaining it from that way. And that's one of the reasons why I was talking about it. And to see how many times that people Google search that and have found my website from that, I thought, wow, I need to be doing more wine posts.
Yeah. I'll have to do the research and do the reviews. It's going to be hard work, but it's well worth the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I say that, and then I just go back to do my books. and then there's some book posts that I just feel like I put my heart and soul into, and the only person that likes it is the author, who says, "Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed that book." And I'm like, I wish other people would see how great this book was. I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed the review, but
right. Well, and I take it. I would assume that you seem to get a lot of support from authors that you do reviews for, and I noticed that you have like pre-release images, book covers, and that type of thing on your site. So obviously, some publishers right. as well are working with you. So, do you find a lot of authors take your review and they'll share that out, and that gets you traction, which it in turn supposedly will get them more book sales?
Yes, and that one of the reasons why, authors send out the pre-release, I mean, they call them advance release copies of right. their book.
Galleys.
is to make so that when the book is released, they're already they're reviews sure. that are like already on Amazon or already on I don't know some of the, I guess, does Nook.
Barnes and Noble.
Barnes and Nobles. Yeah. So that there are already reviews out there so that readers will say, okay, you know, this looks like it might be a good book to purchase. Now, one of the things that I try to do, because I'm very selective with the books that I will read, the advance copies, because a lot, even though it, I mean, the authors don't say, but they're hoping that you're going to give their book a good review. So, I'm going to be very honest and upfront. And if the book is not any good, I'm going to tell them, if the book isn't any good, I'm probably not going to review it. I won't review it in conjunction with their release.
Right.
Just because, I mean, that's negative publicity for them. And they worked hard on their book. But I don't, so I try to look, look at the plot of the book and some of the author's previous work to see if it's something that I probably will like. And if I think I might like it, then I'll read the book. And then sometimes, I like it. I might give it like a four stars. And sometimes I might think it's mediocre. I might give it a 3. And some authors will tell you 3 is like giving it a 0, which no, that's not. 3 is okay. 3 is average. Right. 4 is like, I love it. 5 is exceptional. 2 is it's okay. And 1 is I couldn't finish it. This book was trash.
I'm so sorry, but I was able to start a fire in winter with it. So. Yeah. Yeah. So I know you use social media. I'm assuming you use social media to promote blog. Of course. Which platforms do you use, and what seems to work the best for you?
I use Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. Of everything, my Facebook author, and I have a Facebook author page, and so that is strictly just for my blog, and that author page seems to have generated the most referrals to my blog, and I got that information from the stats on my blog. So, which is another reason why I like WordPress, because they have really good statistical information. So I can I can look at that and see, you know, if there are things that I can tweak, like what search engine, is there any kind of search engine optimization that I could do, what are the readers kind of looking for, when they're in Google, and maybe kind of put those tags on my posts,
right,
so that can help to kind of draw traffic. And then with my Twitter account, when I post my blog to Twitter, so in my blog title, I'll put the hashtags. Put hashtags, and so then that makes it easy for readers to find on Twitter. And then what I'll also do, I'll put the author's user handle.
Okay.
And so then they know that there's a review for their book on my blog, and then they can retweet it to their followers.
That's a good idea. So I like that. I use a tool to try to accomplish the same thing. And then my brain took a momentary lapse of reason there. Google, do you use Google Webmaster Tools to kind of do analytics as well, or you just use the ones that come out of WordPress.com?
I just use the ones that come out of WordPress.
Okay.
And I know that there's so many more analytics that I probably could be using, but I just haven't really got into all of them to kind of see what all is available.
Right. No. And well, Bing has Webmaster Tools as well. I guess I don't know. So, like, the catch with either of those is that you have to put an HTML page in the directory of your blog or your website. And I don't know. I suppose because you have a paid account, you have the ability to do that on your website. I don't know. That's a good question, isn't it?
I don't know. That is a good question.
Yeah. That's how they say, well, if you are able to save a file to your website, then it must be your website. That's kind of your way of proving it's yours. Now, a lot of social media experts say that social media works best when you create a relationship between you and your followers. Do you agree with that? And if so, what do you do to kind of promote relationships through social media?
I definitely agree with that, because I think the reader has to be engaged to keep coming back, to look for new content. There's so many different blogs out there. I mean, especially in the realm of book reviews, there's so many different bloggers that do book reviews that for just romance book reviews that I follow. So, I mean, all of us have to figure out a way to find our niche and make our space in the blogosphere. And so, what I'm trying to do is trying to find a way to connect with my followers. And one of the things that I think that helps me to promote those relationships is I'm trying to use my sense of humor, and kind of trying to bring a little bit of funny, quirky to the mix, and then have my, with my opinions peppered. Well, my opinions are generously peppered in, I should say.
It's your blog. You get away with that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I have it this way, and then, trying to make the readers feel that, hey, is it, this is something that don't, like, you feel the same way, don't you? Or have you ever thought of it this way? And then sometimes it's, oh yeah, you know what? I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's pretty funny. Or, oh, I like, this sort of thing. I should try that. So I think that, once you kind of, or once you have somebody like on the hook, where you've able to show them something that would interest them, then you can build that relationship where they keep coming back. When I receive comments on the website, I try to respond quickly to those comments, and then that helps me to strengthen the relationship, because I let my readers know that I'm monitoring the traffic that's coming to my blog, and that I want to interact with them. I'm not just putting it out there and say, well, I hope somebody reads it. I don't care, but that I care.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you, is how exactly you interact with your followers. But so obviously you comment back in the comment area. I guess if they reach out to you at Facebook, you comment back there, or Twitter, whichever one they may reach out to you with. Okay.
On all. And then there's sometimes, like, for example, when I'm sharing the pre-release information of different books, and sometimes people say, oh, I was looking for a new book in this genre, and this looks interesting, and I might say, oh, and here's some other books that you might not have thought of, or like, just giving them suggestions, and that kind of helps as well.
Yeah. Now, unrelated to blogging, you seem to be a voracious reader, and I'm just so curious how you manage to read so many books so fast. And what all genres do you read besides just romance? Because I know you read just a spectrum of books.
Well, now I have always been a fast reader, like, even when I was a teenager. And then I also don't mind foregoing sleep to finish a good book. That even when I was a teenager, I mean, I can remember, my mom would tell me it's time to go to bed, and I would be under my blankets with a flashlight until like 2 o'clock in the morning trying to finish a book, knowing I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get ready for school.
Yes.
But I mean, I also don't watch a lot of TV. So, other people might binge on TV shows. I binge read. So,
Okay.
I'll tell you what. Okay, so, and I'm very proud of this accomplishment. So in December, I took a week off from work, and during that time, I read 13 books. I was so proud of myself. It,
Wow.
okay, so it's 13 random books. It was a series, and I didn't. It wasn't my intention to read all 13, but what happened was I read the first book in the series, and I loved it. So I just ended up reading the entire. I won't get into what the series was, just because it might be a little out there for this audience, but just
We don't know
but
who my
anyway.
audience is. I don't have really good demographic specs here, so
Okay. Well,
you never know.
it was like a sci-fi
Okay.
type of book. But now, granted, I did not do much of anything else that whole week. Like, if you look at my pedometer, my Fitbit, I didn't get a lot of steps. So I was just pretty much reading and eating and sleeping. So, and I had planned to work on my blog during that time, so to kind of get a head start on the new year, but that didn't happen because I was reading.
So, speaking about your blog, what are your next steps for your blog? You got some plans going forward, some things, cool things you're wanting to share that you're planning on doing with your blog, or it's all top secret and you can't reveal that today?
Well, now, I will tell you this. So, in April, I'm participating in a A to Z blog challenge. So, I'll be posting every day except Sundays. And each day will correspond to a letter of the alphabet. So, the first day begins with A, and then the last day will be Z. And so I'm gearing up and getting ready for that now. And gearing up meaning I'm getting blog posts ready, because this is going to be a very this endeavor, it's going to take a lot of work.
No, I've said so, that's 26 posts at least.
Yeah, exactly. So I just got to make sure I have everything in order, because I want my posts all to be published around the same time of day, so about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. So for that to happen, everything has to be in place at least by the night before. Well, you know, who knows what's going to be going on at work, you know, my family responsibilities. So I need to have things kind of in line at least a week or two ahead of time. So, and April is my anniversary month, so we also, you know, we're gonna take a little vacation for that. So I gotta
to read more books.
Well, you know hubby likes to have a little time. I have to give him his time as well. So, but, and then I'm looking for ways to expand my blog readership. I want to have more author spotlight posts, and I have a goal to participate in more blog tours. So that's what I'm going to be working on. That's over the course of the year. I'm going to try to work on that.
Now, explain what a blog tour is.
So a blog tour is where you're usually working with publishing companies, or sometimes it's a or a social media firm, and they will coordinate with several different blogs, and the goal is to promote the, let's say we're promoting a new release. So, but they'll put out a schedule. And they'll say, okay, so we're promoting the release of, I'm just going to use the name. So, like, let's say Danielle Steele. We're promoting Danielle Steele's new book. And because of that, on, you know, visit Amaryllis's blog on Monday, visit, you know, Romance Addict's blog on Tuesday, visit so-and-so's blog on Wednesday, Thursday, like that.
Okay.
So that's a way to get some new traffic, and people will visit the blog who might have not ever visited before. And then, you know, once they visit, they're visiting with a purpose, but then sometimes they will click around or click like, or click follow. And that's, you know, my hopes of, you know, that they kind of stay a while and subscribe. Sure. To the page. But to participate in those types of events, I have to be a little bit more organized. Because, you know, they give you a specific day and you've got to post on that day. So I've got to make sure that, like, if they give me the day, so they say, okay, you need to post on March 27th, then I need to make sure that I've got March 27th available and that my other posts are not conflicting and all of that.
Right. So all right. Well, that's awesome. I really like that idea. I wonder how that would kind of play off with other formats, with blogging and other topics. So let me ask you, who should we all be following on social media? Who do you like to follow that you just really enjoy their content?
Well, now, for on social media, really on Twitter is where I follow. I have follow a few celebrities, and the celebrities that I follow because I love they're humorous. So Chrissy Teigen, she's John Legend's wife. She always has really funny things to say. J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, but
Yeah,
hopefully
we are.
everybody knows
Yeah. I
that
do. I can't speak for my listeners. No, okay, no. Now I'm thinking my listeners probably know that one, so.
Yeah, I love reading her posts because one, I mean, some her posts are so insightful, and then how she deals with her, I mean, I wouldn't even call them critics, her trolls.
Was gonna say trolls would probably be their best word. She does know how to smack down.
Yes, and I love it. I love a verbal smackdown or a digital smackdown. And then Lovie Ajayi, she is a pop culture blogger that is hilarious. And I love reading her posts. I follow her blog. I follow Lovie on every form of social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I follow her everywhere. I even bought her book. She's a bestseller. She released a book last October, September, October, and I bought her book. It's called I'm Judging You, and it is on point.
And I will post those links out on the programming notes to go with this blog post, so that people can go out and find those as well. What authors should everybody be reading?
Okay, so now authors, it all depends, and a lot of the authors that I am looking at are romance authors. But so, for example, Anna Hackett, she's a sci-fi romance. But it's sci-fi, it's action, it's got a little bit of suspense in it. Kara Bristol, she's also sci-fi. It's got a little bit of it's romance, but it also has a little bit of action and suspense. Teri Bollreiter, she's a paranormal romance. Carly Phillips is a contemporary romance. And now if you want just straight fiction, where I do like Leanne Moriarty, so I like her writing.
That's awesome. I'll try to post some of those. I was gonna say, if you want to send me like a list, I should have said, hey, send me a list, and I'll post that out as well so that everybody can then. And then want to reiterate about your blog, where it is, so people can go find it.
Yes. So my blog is amaryllisterman.com. You want me to spell it out?
I'll put
Or
it. I will put
you'll put it
links on
in.
the website for you.
Okay. So yeah, so it's www.amaryllisterman.com, and I made it easy for everyone. And in retrospect, I probably should have put the same handle as my Twitter, because my Twitter handle is TOW Musings. But when I created my blog website, I wasn't sure what direction I was going in, so it wasn't until later that I got everything else set up. So
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm Marilis Terman. Everybody knows it's me.
Well, I was gonna
So
say,
no.
and I noticed you got the TOW rating on your site, so she puts out there how many hearts she gives for each book that she reviews. So you go out there and see what your authors go out there and find out what your TOW rating is.
Yeah. And late last year, I started doing a heat rating. So I have like little flames.
Oh, wow.
Because I got tired of doing the little disclaimer. And the disclaimer can be very subjective. Because what one person might say, oh, well, that's not, that doesn't mean the same thing to me. So with the little heat, it's like, okay, this is very fiery. So, you know, it's got a lot of hot stuff.
Yeah. No, I get it, but that, yeah, I've got to put the disclaimer at the bottom, you know. So we were joking earlier about how, you know, whenever I've had guests on that had a lot of profanities, I would actually edit the profanity out and put a dog bark there instead, so that so if you listen to the podcast, you had a dog bark and you didn't figure out somebody said something, that was what it is, to try to keep it, because I told iTunes that we were we didn't have anything profanity on our site, so to keep it that way. Maris, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on my on the podcast. This is been great. I'm really excited about this because I know I don't read all your reviews because I'm not much of a romance fan, but I get a kick out of reading your foodie posts and your travel posts, and occasionally you'll talk about something technical, and I like the Try It Tuesday. So I get a kick out of reading those, and just I noticed that so many people seem to visit your blog and really like it, and your engagement with those that visit your blog, and so that was kind of the point I wanted to really get across to people, that if you're blogging and you want traction, or that blogging is a great way to kind of share your love for something specific, and in your case, reading and the book reviews that you do, and so that's. I think that's really great. I just and thank you for taking the time to join. You got any last thoughts you want everybody out there to hear?
Well, just that blogging, it can seem daunting in the beginning, but I think that if you start out with a plan, you know, and just start small. I mean, it's like, for example, with anything, you know, you can have one brick or you could have a brick house, but I mean, a brick house, it starts with one brick. So, you know, you just start small and don't stress yourself out that in the beginning, you know, you only have, you know, one or two people following, or it doesn't seem like anybody's reading it, or that, you know, just look for ways. If you have a blog and you're trying to get some traction on it, just keep trying things to see what works, and see, you know, look for a blogging community of like bloggers. And once you find, and those, you can find that, like WordPress, WordPress makes it easy to find like bloggers, within WordPress, but then also like on Facebook, you know, there are a lot of Facebook groups that I'm actually a part of that are for review bloggers. So, you know, and that's helped me to improve what I'm doing. So, you know, but be patient if you're wanting to get into blogging, and start small, and over time you'll see the results of all your work. And thank you for having me on the show today. I really enjoyed this.
Great. This was fun. And to tell everybody, thank you again for listening to the One Off Technology podcast. And for those listening at home, this is episode 2 in season 2. And so, great. And we are going to try to be more diligent about getting episodes out every 2 weeks. So, awesome. Thank you again, Amaris. I really appreciate it. And goodbye to everybody out there. You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Look for other episodes of our podcast coming to a podcast universe near you.